you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
But before we get into the show, if you like the SDR show and you want to have amazing sex, we want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. So it takes the edge off, it lowers the sensitivity, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. Just better sex guaranteed, no pesky subscription required. It's easy to use, it helps you last longer, and it gives you more confidence. What more could you ask for? So just go to Promescent.com. That's Promescent.com. There is not even a promo code. It don't matter. You have a 60-day money-back guarantee. You could feel confident. You can know you last longer. You want to have a little more excitement, look and feel more manly. You go to Promescent.com. That's what you should do, and do it now.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. This week, a band that I've loved forever from South Africa. The band is Seether. The singer is Sean. And I got to say this, super cool dude and a really fun episode. James Madden fills in the co-host seat. We do this every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. If you were a fan or are a fan of Seether, you could have heard the show 5 days earlier, commercial free at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR, get a one-week trial and 20% off the entire network. We got some specials coming up soon, some giveaways and stuff if you sign up on the network. But if you go right now, you will get that 7-day free trial, access to every episode we've ever done since the dawn of time, and everything in HD and commercial free. You could download the MP3s as well, all the way back to episode one. But here it is right now, the Seether episode of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
It is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton, back with me once again with an idiotic wig.
That hurts, Ralph.
It is James Madden.
Let me have hair for a
few
minutes.
Who are you supposed to be?
I'm going to go as Bob Ross.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. Can you paint?
No, I'm not going to fucking paint on Halloween.
You got to carry an easel or something.
It came with a goddamn easel. I'm going to do that. And I'm hopefully going to walk.
We look like you're wearing a hairnet in the back. What's behind you? It's weird.
I might not have gotten the hairnet. I mean, I just pulled it out of the thing okay. Right now.
All right. Fair enough.
All right.
Shannon is with us. Shannon thinks her lighting sucks, but I think she looks lovely.
Thank you.
And now the singer of a band that I've loved forever. Boy, they were a staple for me for a strip club DJ for years. And I have a very good story I want to tell this dude that I don't think he's going to remember. It is Sean Morgan from Seether. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you doing? I just want to say that wig does read more Napoleon Dynamite than Bob.
Yes.
Ross.
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
Well, I can't go as that much. I can't get laid that night.
How about Napoleon you hybrid Dynamite. It and be Bob Dynamite? That sounds like something I'd want to be a part of.
Then I'm going to have to get something else. I'm going to have to go with fucking Tom Cruise in The Color of Money.
Fine. No, sure. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of new music out there as well. I mean, so much. It's really fascinating. But first, I want to tell you my story. You're not going to remember the story. Why would you? You're a fucking big famous rock star and I'm a fucking nobody, but why not? So I've hosted this thing for 10 years called Shiprocked, right?
Yes.
And I was a host for a very long time. And you guys played, I don't know, I think it's 3-4 years ago. And it was a rough one for me. Without getting into details, they bring on other hosts as well. And I found out on that episode, the other host is getting paid 3 times more than me. And it was a very fucking frustrating thing. And whatever, it was just a bad trip. It was actually my last one. It was my last Shiprocked, right? But I was hosting a Q&A with you guys and a few of the, like you, lead singer, and a few other lead singers and a few other events. And then you and your manager at some point came up to me and said, hey, this is a very self-serving story, by the way. We just want to tell you something. We've hosted thousands of these. We've been on 1,000 cruises, every radio DJ in the world has been on stage with us and blah, blah, blah. you're one of the best at this we've ever seen. And that fucking made me so goddamn happy. Even if you tell that to every single person,
no.
I believed it and it made me happy.
I don't lavish such elaborate praise on just anybody. So,
do you remember me at all or no? You could lie. Tell the truth.
Yeah, no. Look, those shipwrecks, I only did two. Both of them were quite hazy. In fact, the first one, I'd been sober for a year and a half before I got on it. And within an hour of being on that thing, I was like, babe, I gotta join these people. And then the next one was a little bit hazier, but yeah, I remember them to some degree, but I wouldn't go out of my way to say something like that just if it was blowing smoke up somebody's ass. Cause right. I try to at least walk away and leave a genuine impression every time, you know?
Well, you did. And then here's what made me a really great story was that one of the things I hosted was a Q&A with about five lead singers, right? Yeah. So it was you, and it was I forget who else was on stage. It doesn't really matter. But the guy is from this really, like, I don't know how to put it, like thinking man medley band called Starset. Like,
yeah,
really,
it was Starset.
Like,
it was me. It was Zach Wild. It was there were two other guys that I forget. But I remember we were all sitting next to each other.
Head might have been on the stage too. I could be wrong, but I don't know. But anyway, the question that was posed was, what do you do before a show to prepare?
Yeah.
And the first went to Starset guy, and his answer was 15, 20 minutes long. It was like very complicated set. We have to make sure this works. And then I have to get into the right mindset. We got to make sure the lighting, but like, it was a 20 minute story. And then I just said, all right, well, what about you, Sean? How do you handle it? And he go, I don't fucking know. I have a beer and walk out on stage. And it was like the best moment. It was so fucking great.
Yeah, I've never really taken it too seriously, man. The whole point of getting ready for a show, I think we started maybe a decade ago or so. Dale and I started a regimen, like an hour and a half before we play. We pour that first cocktail, try and take the edge off. And by the time you get out there, you know, you feel good and you all the nerves kind of dissipate. So that's been a staple for us for a long time. And when I smoked cigarettes, it was that. I've watched other singers and I hear them warming up and I'm like, dude, that's like. Running half the marathon before you have to run the real one, right? It's like just get out there and blow it out if you have to, man. But yeah, that's always been my sort of take on it is I'm just gonna go out there and have fun.
And then speaking of that, because a lot of the stories and doing a little research on you tend to involve some sort of alcohol or drinking or whatnot, but you said about 4 months ago you were starting this 75-day hard plan, which involves two workouts a day, no drinking. How many days did you make it in, or did you do the whole 75?
Like half a day, I think. Well, you know, you wake up in the morning with all the best intentions, and then by the time 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock rolls around, you're like, you know what? I kind of feel like it's cocktail hour. So, you know, it didn't last long, but I'm now back on the wagon because I've just finished 3 months of touring. And I must say I did overdo it a lot. So I'm trying to get back to like a healthier frame of mind because my kid's 4 now and I'm trying to be more of a present dad. So I'm not always like the guy that's squinting through one eye, trying to make sure she hasn't killed herself, you know, while I'm fighting off all the physical ailments and pains of too much vodka. So I'm doing my best, but that 75-day thing, my wife did it for about, dude, I don't know, 2 months, 3 months. It's brutal, but she got through a lot of it. And even she was like, I can't do the full thing. You know, no, 75. So she would have done she was about 2 weeks shy of finishing it.
Oh, Jesus, you're making that far and cancel 60 days and get out?
Yeah, that's well, crazy. I mean, but she did it right in the middle of lockdown, and nobody can go that long without a drink, you know, in when it's like, you know, it's last year, April and May, and I was like, nah. I mean, it was worth a shot, but.
And also, by the way, I'm going to tell you this, I'm a big dude, right? I'm 6'5". When I started trying to lose weight, I was 310, 320. Now I'm like 250 or something. But you talk a lot about that. You stopped because your knees would hurt so much. And as a guy who always had knee pain, off air, I can tell you things that will change your life because I am designed to have knee problems. I'm too big and couldn't do anything. And now I run a half marathon almost every week. Damn. So
holy cow. Well, I tell you what happened is I'm 6'1", but I did CrossFit that year and a half when I was sober again. I was waking up at 4 a.m. and I was in the gym by 4:30 and doing 45 minutes to an hour every day every day. But man, I spent the better part of that year and a half walking around with knee braces on the whole time. And it was brutal because like you climb stairs and everything's cracking and popping. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, how is this a thing? I'm at the time I was about 35 or 36. And I'm like, there's no reason why I should be in this much pain all the time. So I stopped went back to drinking, and the knee pain just disappeared. It was amazing.
Yeah, that'll happen. That'll happen. And by the way, I'm gonna make an attempt right now, Sean. You ready? Is it Welcome-ed?
That's close. That's closer than most. I've heard wedgie mold. I've heard watermelon. I've heard whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole.
So yeah, his last Morgan is his middle name, yeah. And it's some sort of South African. It looks like it's spelled Welgemood.
Yeah.
But it's Welcome-ed.
All right. It's Welchemut.
Oh, well, I'm not going to
Wow. That sounds like a fucking composer from the 1880s.
God bless you.
Yeah, dude, right? And the irony, well, not the irony, I guess sometimes it's true, but it means cheerful in German.
Oh,
it's
German.
Fucking sound cheerful. No disrespect, right? My friend. That sounds like the opposite of cheerful.
Like you just hawked a loogie.
Oh, my God.
We were talking about this in the 20 extra minutes we had to talk before you came on the show. And
PA, baby.
One of the things that we brought up is that, I was a strip club DJ for a long time, and I apologize to listeners. I saw and talk about it all the time. But Seether songs were mandatory in our playlist especially like Fake It and Remedy, but also Broken. Even the Careless Whisper cover was a big part of our playlist. Did you notice that, or did you create it for that? You know what I mean? Like, at the time, especially during those albums, there was the story that strip clubs make or break songs sometimes. Was there any thought process in that or not?
Yeah, I did some time in them back in the day, and I've had to hang up that hat. But it was interesting that there was never any sort of conscious attempt to write a song for that. But I'm with you. There were definitely songs that I heard in clubs like that thinking, wow, I've never heard of this band. I'm gonna go check them out. Cause it's, right. We're all in our 20s. We're all, living the dream. And I did notice too, that we were quite popular. And I mean, obviously if we walked in, suddenly the songs would be an uptick, but so I would always take it with a grain of salt. But it's funny. Cause I know there's certainly, I've had conversations with other band guys where they've written to try and get songs for right. clubs like that. And, I don't know if they still do that. And they aren't necessarily around anymore, but they had like that brief windows of success with the main focus. The only goal in mind was to do songs for girls. To
create strip club anthems. That was like, I mean, Buck right. Cherry created it with Crazy Bitch. That's what I think really yeah. helped make that song a hit.
Well, when you have people walking down the aisle to get married to that song, then you know you've created something special.
That's for sure. And also, one of the songs, I mean, it's a cover song, but I don't think you get enough credit for it. I was one of the covers I would play at the end of the night of the show of a strip club was your Frank Sinatra cover, which is fucking great. It's just a great cover, and I don't think it gets enough accolade.
Well, that one was kind of buried in an iTunes thing that we did. Jeez, man, that's going back now, probably 12, 13, 14 years. And they wanted us to do a couple covers. So we did Across the Universe by the Beatles, which I quite enjoyed too. But we wanted to sort of reimagine that. And I think it might have been originally for a Sinatra sort of reimagined modern take on it. I don't think we ever made it onto that compilation, but we did it for that special anyway. And I thought it was cool. I thought it was different. Because to me, the lyrics kind of sort of read as Stalker or mm-hmm. Peeping Tom, right? So I was like, oh, I'm going
to. That's
I'm
why
take...
it speaks to me, by the way. Yeah. That's what it's my connection for it.
So I approached it from that, sort of looking at it from through that lens and saying, okay, well, if this is going to be a song about what seems to be somebody, like I've got you under my skin, bloody. Okay, and there's two ways you can listen to it and two things you can take from it. But I, at the time, was doing a lot of drugs and saw things often through the darker lens of life. And I figured that's how I wanted to interpret it. But I mean, it's funny that was ever played because there's very, very few people that even know about that song.
Well, you're welcome. How about Thanks. That?
Could you imagine if Sinatra was alive? He would want to fight you. Listen, buddy, I've never had a stock pussy, buddy.
But he wouldn't fight himself. He'd just send like somebody from the mob to break my kneecaps or right. make me sleep with the fishes, right?
Seven dudes named Vinny. It'd be, he'd be like, Vinny, stop hitting me. And six other Vinny's be like, I ain't.
And if they take you, if they want to take you for a ride, never sit in the front seat.
You don't want to end up like poor Carlo.
Yeah. That reminds me, I told this story, I think, on the air, but I had a long story short, collect a very large sum of money in Texas in cash. And everyone told me I was crazy to go get it. One of our sponsors, instead of wiring us the money, said, come to Texas, we'll give you the money. And I was supposed to meet them somewhere. And I thought, it seems a lot easier to just not pay me, right? As opposed to me flying out there, whatever. And when I got there and I turned my phone on, I get a message from them saying, hey, we decided to pick you up at the airport. We're in the black SUV. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting murdered.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to definitely get murdered. That's what happened. But instead, I got in the front seat and they plopped down a fucking huge swat of cash right in front of me. And I thought, this is, they're just going to kill me, but they didn't. So I'm here.
We got a big thing of cash one time on a pallet because we played in South Carolina somewhere. And the wind came up and knocked the scaffolding down, and someone was actually injured. So they canceled the show. And it was this really bizarre day. It was also the day one of our previous managers died. So it was really bizarre. But the promoter, I guess, was so pissed that he was supposed to pay us 10 grand as a deposit or something, whatever it was. But he ended up bringing a pallet of $10,001 bills that were plastic wrapped into the dressing room. It's like, I don't know what we had done to the guy that he was so angry at us, but here we are with like this, I don't know, 6 foot long, 4 foot wide pallet of just $1 bills,
Jesus,
which we can't do anything with except for maybe he owned a local club that he wanted us to go
right,
visit.
Probably. Now, one of the, speaking of that full circle here at the strip club, one of my friends once, who's also a DJ, the girl was pissed at him. So she gave him his $20 tip in nickels. She went to the bank and got nickels and gave him $20 in nickels.
That's next level spite. Yeah. And I think I'd be okay with it. Yeah, I'd be like, pretty you're cool. Okay, kid. You're didn't, okay.
Didn't, wasn't there like that one lawsuit that between Samsung and Apple, and Samsung had to pay Apple like millions, and they ended up paying them as well in something ridiculous? Like,
yeah, that was. I forgot why. Yeah, they did. Yeah. That is true. That
and it was
is
like
weird.
$5 million in quarters. It was just cool. It was like,
yeah.
Such that's a real Larry David shit. That's
nice
that's
to know
terrific.
That no matter how big you are, you can still be petty. I think that's a good lesson to be learned. You talk about this a lot, by the way, which kudos to you. I agree. You are not on social media. The band is at Seether, but you fucking hate it with every fiber of your being, except for the obvious reasons to promote what you need to promote. You can't email, you can't, send out stamps to everyone on your list every time you're going on tour, but you fucking hate it.
Oh, with a passion, man. When Twitter first came out, I was on it, and I thought it was like, maybe this is going to be cool. And the first thing that happened was it was just negative. There was nothing positive at all. Like even within hours of being on there, there were like threats, death threats from psychopaths, people talking shit about my kid. So I was just immediately, I was just on offense, man. And I was on there for about a week or two. And then at the time, our guitarist who we had, he basically bailed on us after we had done a whole 12-hour photo shoot in New York City, and he went back to Evanescence, and I was like, oh, that's cool. So I said, well, I hope they have a lot of fun. And I got in trouble with somebody else who's a friend of mine. So I was like, you know what? If I can't say stuff and even my friends don't understand that I was pissed off at the time and I'm allowed to express myself, then I'm not going to do this anymore. And I was just off. I was done. And I've never really missed it. I had a little bit of MySpace back in the day. I didn't even know how to change the background. And then when Facebook came out, I kind of used it a little bit, but I was like, I don't like this either. So I've never cared about what you're having for breakfast or what shoes you're wearing tonight to the club. I just don't give a shit.
I had a pesto and egg sandwich, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Sounds amazing. No, it sort of elevates the bullshit factor of everybody saying, look how great my life is. And when it really isn't, it's like no one's lives are that great all the time. And when they say, oh, it's just a way for you to share information between your grandma and photos and stuff. That's not true. It's basically they collect and the sinister side of it, more than how toxic it is and how gross it is that they collect every single ounce of information on you, and they store it and they sell it. And they
of course, if the product is free, you're the product. That's
exactly
the best way to look at it.
And I have nothing to hide, but I also don't want everybody to know anything about me. You know what I mean? It's like certainly not people that have nefarious intentions. So I'm good with it.
And also
what I saw
you talk about, and I feel this way all the time, is that people get away with saying shit online because they know it's borderline anonymous, that they would never say to your face because they know there could be repercussions if they say it to your face.
Well, Mike Tyson said something along the lines. He's like, you know, people get to say this stuff because if they said it in person, they'd get a bitch slap. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. He would have probably
had a bitch slap Shannon yesterday because she cracked wise to me and I had to teach her a lesson.
I did it in person.
But yeah, I think that's true. I think, you know, the rise of online bullying, it's all of that false bravado of anonymity where
cyber muscles.
People can say, and you know, like there was that kid up in, well, she knew the boyfriend that she made him kill himself, and she got like a slap on the wrist. Now you imagine if it's anonymous kids at school. There was a little teenager down here a couple hours south of me in Tennessee, and he was outed by kids at school and he wasn't ready to come out and he was like 15 years old and he killed himself. And this just happened a couple of years ago. So it's this, and there's never any repercussion for that kind of behavior, man. It's just, I don't understand how people feel so brave because they have no repercussions, and B, because nobody knows who to lash out.
I think, by the way, the solution is very simple. If every account has to be tied to an actual person,
right,
as opposed to making anonymous accounts where anybody could look up and see who that person is. There's no fake and anonymous YouTube. It would decrease the shit talking by 80% within a month.
And especially if you had to include your number and your address. Whoa, hang on. Yeah. I'm going to be really, really nice to everybody.
I wanted to do a show. I think the idea has since been taken. I could be wrong, but I wanted to do a TV show called Troll Hunters, where we go track down the people that say shit online, go with like a comic and a big dude, and the person that you made fun of.
I love it.
I think that's a great idea. You know, MTV sort of had a lowbrow where they had that, you know, bully where you jump in the ring with an MMA fighter. I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, as scripted as it was, but yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think, unfortunately, we're so far gone as a society with all of how it's been running rampant. You know, I have a 19-year-old kid who grew up with all this stuff, and she's got a lot of issues, man. You know, it really is. I've seen it affect her. So from a firsthand perspective of that, I understand how it's just really, really bad for people. Right. And sure, it has a place, like we've talked about, where it's like you have to promote things because that's how you reach the most people. Like in the old days, like you said, it would have been a mailing list, and it would have been somebody licking stamps and sending them out in the mail. But
for me, I use it for promotion and to try and have sex with women. Those are the only two reasons I use social media.
You know, that's those are both honorable reasons.
Thank you so much.
All right, before we go any further, I want to tell you about a sponsor that we love here, because if you are an auto mechanic or a do-it-yourself guy that works on his own cars, we want to tell you all about RockAuto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. RockAuto.com has been in the business for 20 years, and they make it super easy, super easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order your parts and aren't really sure what you're looking for, or never quite have the exact part you need, and then they charge you storefront markups. Just go to rockauto.com. The best prices. How do we know the best prices? They don't even have a discount code. Just tell them when you make that order that you heard them on the SDR show. So go to rockauto.com to handle every single auto part need. And let's get back into it.
So to go back to the Guinea, I have a few things I want to talk to you. When you guys were in South Africa, by the way, I tried to think of who are the popular bands that came out of South Africa. I mean, it's D'Antwoord, right? Or D'Antwoord, how have you pronounced that?
D'Antwoord, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Dave Matthews is from Australia. I could be wrong on that. He was from South Africa, right?
From what I understand, he was born there, and he was kicked out of school. We played some high school before we got over here, and supposedly he had been there till he was about 16 and got kicked out, and then moved to the States.
I don't know anybody else. That's it.
Well, there was a band in the 80s called Rabbit.
Rabbit, like they're like a folk hero. Like when people go, I've never met any band or heard any band from South Africa. Someone will grab you by the shoulder and go, Rabbit, and then they don't tell you anything else.
Exactly.
It's like God.
Sounds very Matrixy. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's Sasquatch at this point. It's just rumor and innuendo.
Well, I can't name a song or a band there name or whatever, but you know, it's like, but it is, and but I mean,
who's the band? I don't know.
Inarguably, our most famous export is Charlize Theron. So,
God bless her.
But you have to be, and I'm not asking you to affirm this, but the biggest band out of South Africa, because I know you're from South Africa. I can't, you know, I don't know any other band that I could say that about. So that's something. But when you came here originally, which is just a crazy thing, you weren't called Seether. You called Saron Gas and changed your name when you came to L.A. But the funny thing is, I always knew the song Seether by Veruca Salt, but only realized that you not only named yourself that because of that, but you also covered it at one point, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, well, we were told, you know, unequivocally, you guys, look, it was just post 9/11, because we moved to the States. That happened September, and we moved in the January, and in between, you know, those 3 months, we were told change the name. So I mean, we came up with so many bad ones, and I was always a big fan of those 90s grunge girl bands like L7,
L7, Assault,
you know, Babes in Toyland, all that Babes. Stuff. So I was like, well, let me just go through this. And I was like, oh, see, this sounds pretty cool. It kind of makes sense because I'm always a pissed off kid. So that all sort of ties in. But then I was told, okay, cool. That's great and all. But supposedly she's singing about her vagina. And I had no idea. So I was like, well, that makes it kind of funny. So we definitely have to call ourselves Semen.
But
the sad part is years later, and I'm not sure if it was broken telephone or not, but we were on tour. And it was funny because it was Veruca Salt, and then they would play the night before us, and then we'd play the night after them. So everywhere we went was Veruca Salt, see them, Veruca Salt, see them. So, but I heard anyway from one of them, from one of the people that knew the singer or one of the singers, that they weren't very happy that we had taken the name as a band name. But then I met one of the drummers they'd had years later in Chicago. He's like, no, they're cool. He's like, it's totally fine. But I've often wondered if they are truly offended or not, because I thought it was paying an homage to them and saying, hey, you know, this is we love the song.
You should change it to another Veruca Salt song. You should be like, you should put out a press release. We feel bad. We're going to change the name
to and then vagina. Become
to Volcano Girls.
Oh. Yeah,
real fuck you right
I
there.
I think that could, yeah, or just we just call ourselves American Thighs. I mean, I thought that was pretty cool too.
and then pay them in a bunch of pennies. Fuck it, fuck it.
Full circle, love it.
Full circle, baby.
And so I know you were a kid when you moved to L.A. That had to be crazy, you know, but one of the things I read that was funny, you said the reason why you moved from L.A. to Tennessee was because at the time there was a lot of homeless poop on the sidewalk. So I wanted to say that I'm sorry about that.
That's close. I lived in Venice Beach for a while because I moved to Hollywood. Then I moved out to Calabasas with a girl I was seeing at the time. And then I moved into Venice because I was kind of trapped in LA at the time. And I didn't, because that's where the record company kind of wanted to base us out of. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize you could go anywhere in the country if you really wanted to. So I lived there for about 6 or 7 years. And even then in 2000, I moved in there like 2004 or five, maybe five. And even then when I bought the house, I get a piece of paper saying, this is graffiti removal. This is the number you call. This is human fecal matter removal. Oh. I'm like, dude, I thought this was a nice neighborhood. I mean, I didn't realize. So then I come to figure out, yeah, that there was a, even back then, 2006 or seven, that they would pull in with these RVs and you walk to the grocery store and you have to sort of like, you have to play, you know, when you played as a kid, you didn't want to step on the cracks.
So right.
Now you don't want to step back on the crack. Was, yeah. Right. So yeah. It was a real thing even back then, but I never got graffiti on my walls because I was cool with the local kids. I mean, if they were playing in the street, I would wait for them to get out of the way. I wouldn't honk at them or wouldn't mm-hmm. be a dick to them. So I actually quite enjoyed it. It was quiet. I had a nosy neighbor who I would love to when he pissed me off. I would just, because our windows were about this far apart.
You would go shit on his lawn to teach him a lesson.
Just hurl it over the fence. No, I would just open my windows and play music real loud at like 11 o'clock at night because he was a dick. And it was one of those classic neighbor feuds, and I never thought I'd be engaged in one of those. But again, I was in my 20s, and anything to piss somebody else off kind of made me feel like I was having a good time.
Well, this is the story now that I feel I'm going to need you to elaborate on. I think it's going to make Shannon very happy. So after you left California, you moved to Nashville, mm-hmm. and there's a story about where you were staying and why you left that house.
Oh, yeah. So between LA and Nashville, I moved up to New Hampshire for a couple of years, and then, you know, decided, well, I'm done with that. So my girlfriend and I decided, she came from Tulsa and I came from New Hampshire, and we decided we'd sort of go somewhere in the middle. So we moved to Nashville and we bought a house in Brentwood. It's kind of, you know, it's a nice neighborhood. And I was like, well, this is going to be fine. And we get in and we're in the house, and we've still, you know, the boxes and everything, we haven't even unpacked them. They're still in the corner because I'm just lazy. And I'm like, I'll get to it at some point. And it's about a week in, and we're sitting watching TV, and the house is pretty sparsely furnished at the time. There's nothing upstairs. And we just hear this what sounds like a marble falling on the floor and rolling across the floor. And I'm like, well, that's weird because everything upstairs is carpet. So that's already strange, right? So I go, well, we won't think too much of it. And we would hear little things like that here and there. So we started joking and calling this thing Casper. So cut to weird things started happening. Like I'm every morning at 3:30, I wake up and I'm smelling like rotten meat. And the bathroom closet has opened itself and the lights on every single morning, right? And then we're outside we're just hanging out outside having a couple of drinks, and I walk inside and I just smell like rancid cat piss. I'm like, this is really bizarre. So then we also had this, the front door was a little office and there was a dining room, and then the front door was all glass, but the office also had glass, but the office was always pitch black. There's no tree in the way. There's no curtains. It's just this was like this thing just sucked the light out of everything. So we do a bit of reading and we were sitting one day in the kitchen talking, and suddenly one of the outlets just starts spewing flames and sparks. We go, well, that sucks. And after it's all done, there's no marks, there's nothing, right? So we go, okay, cool. Something's really happening here now. So then we started hearing the real creepy stuff was the three knocks, where it's like duck, 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 in this world, if you know anything about it, that's a demonic sign. So it's mocking the Trinity. So I'm like, okay, cool. Now shit's getting real. So it happened every once in a while, but we're still in denial. We're still going, well, this is not real. You know, this we can get away with it. But then there was another bedroom. There was a room above the garage, and it overlooked the driveway. And every time I got home, I was like, oh my God, something's looking at me. And I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it now. Anyway, so that window was the only window in the house where there was this pile of dead bugs. You name it, wasps, spiders, beetles. And it was this one single window where I keep getting this weird look from when I get home, and I never went up there. Anyway, so there's that. We're getting the triple knocks. We're getting the sparks. We're getting the cat's piss. We're getting the rotten meat. So we read, okay, cool. Well, what we should do is we should lay salt at the thresholds, and that way we can keep evil spirits out. So we go,
I mean, I've seen Supernatural, so I know.
Yeah. Continue. So, but let me tell you, it's a fucking thing, dude. So we take the salt and we salt all of the thresholds in the house, right? And we trapped something in that same little office, that little dark room, because now this thing was losing its fucking mind. So we go to bed and we just start hearing what sounds like a drumstick smacking against, because there were some cardboard boxes in there. It sounded like it was a stick slamming against these boxes. So I was like, okay. So we called some ghost people, and they came over, and we had the spirit box, and this thing starts joking, like making fun of us for calling it Casper and shit. I'm like, okay, this is getting too weird now. This is getting too real. So we go, all right, well, so they said, what you want to do is you want to vacuum up the salt, because apparently you've pissed this thing off. So I said, well, I mean, okay, but we've kind of got it where we want it right now. It's just a little noisy right now, so I can live with that. So we take their advice. We vacuum up the salt, and we had these French doors for the bedroom, and you walk through them, and then there's this kitchen. So we go to bed that night, and I close the French doors, and I start hearing banging in the kitchen. Like, this thing is really pissed off. And then my wife has this little, she had this little poodle at the time, and he's at the edge of the end of the bed, and he suddenly just hackles up and he's growling at the door, dude. And then it was like somebody just slammed those doors as with like a grown man. And so she hides under the covers. I'm like, we have to go right now. So I need your help. So I start yelling at this thing, because it's trying to, you know, it's banging on our door. We grab like a toothbrush, I think, and that was about it. And now the thing is, our only way out through the house is we have to go through those doors.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So we basically just charge through the doors, and we run through the house, and we open the garage. We get the fuck out, and we go to this pub, and we sit in there, and I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, this is what just happened. He's like, dude, I would have left months ago when, you know, I would have been down the road. I was like, yeah. So we chill out. And, you know, insult to injury, the dogs in the car takes a shit on my seat, which was fun. So we come back to the car. We stay in a hotel.
Maybe he's from California, and that's why.
Yeah. So then we bailed to Pigeon Forge, which is about 4 hours away. We stay there for a week. I have a traumatic experience with a bat. We can talk about that, too. But we come home, and these ghost people are now back at our house. And they say, look, we're on our way, but what you want to do is, before we get there, you both have to take a bath in salt. So we run the bathtub, we pour salt in, she goes, and I go, they arrive. And now we have a full on, you know, travel channel ghost hunt, right? And it's creepy as hell. There's voices coming out of nowhere. This box is laughing at us. And there's the orbs and all that shit, man. It was just the whole thing sucked. So we walk around the house, we sage the entire thing. You know, we come to find out there's a couple of bad guys in there. There's a little boy and there's a woman who's trapped. And supposedly Jesus there's another Christ. Woman who doesn't like my wife because she wants me to like her and all of this stuff. Right. Cause anyway, so we sage the house. We're like, yeah, we've won. We've said, you know, get out of our house. This is not your spot. And you know, we're imagining light coming out of us and all this crap. And dude, like the next day it started happening again. So we're like, we're out. We peaced out. We left. We never went. I never went back to the house ever again. My wife went back and mind you, this is now 3 months in, and we still have all of our boxes fully packed because we never unpacked them because of all of this stuff that was happening. And yeah, we never looked back. And we ended up living on some friends' couches for like, or in their spare room on a blow up mattress for about 3 to 4 months while we looked for a new house. And wow. It was terrifying.
I have a question. Have you ever looked up to like verify any of the stuff that the ghost people told you, like find out if anybody had died in that house or if anybody else had similar experiences?
I did, because we did get some mail from some people. So, okay. So it was a new house and there had been two tenants before us for the 2 years prior, but come to find out, you know, that was where this huge battle was fought. It was the Battle of Franklin, right? And Battle of Brentwood. So there's so many bodies that could be buried.
So they moved the tombstones, but they didn't move the bodies.
That's what I'm saying. Or they may have been buried unmarked, right? So we did a bit of that history, but we never actually got hold of, because I did want to ask some woman, because I figured I wanted to see if the woman that we kept getting the mail for. But so when we had left, we still, you know, we rented the house out because there were a lot of people that were moving here, and you know, we didn't have to disclose anything, but I wanted to speak to them afterwards and see if they had experienced anything. But I never got to speak to them either. But it was, I mean, we had a realtor friend as well. She said that she was my wife's mother's friend. She's like, yeah, there was a couple that moved in a similar type of neighborhood. And the very first night they were unpacking their kitchen stuff, knives was starting to fly at them. And I never really used to believe in this stuff. And I have friends of mine that are fully skeptical. But I got to tell you, you lose all skepticism when you are the one experiencing this absolutely.
Nothing would convince me faster, man, if that happened to me. That's for sure. I'm skeptic by choice.
I should have just thrown a Molotov behind me as I ran out. But it was terrifying.
By the way, I knew Shannon was going to love that story. Did you love that story, Shannon?
I do. And I have so many more questions, but I know we're running out of time. So
I don't know. I know I'm late. That doesn't mean we have to cut off.
I'm not going
to
be able to sleep. I just watched Return of the Living Dead last night, and that didn't scare me half as much as this shit with the fucking sun out in the middle of the day in New York. That is the creepy. When you're telling me you're having ghosts in Nashville, I'm like, this is the coolest place to have a goddamn ghost. It's probably Hank Williams Sr. just trying to tell you to tell his son to fucking relax. No. Here's another couple hits. Or maybe someone goes, hey, y'all, and a ghost with a southern accent that makes you grits after. Fuck this.
Dude, I think, though, I may have opened some sort of avenues to that shit. Because I my brother died years ago, and I always would occasionally I try and reach out to him with, like, pendulums and shit, and you know, and have conversations with them, because I kind of just want.
Which
I
one was first, by the way? Which one was first? I know your brother committed suicide, but did that happen first?
That was prior. Yeah.
Okay.
So right. In this house, I said one night, I was like, hey, you know what? Let's just see if this works. And so I started this pendulum thing, and at first the questions were answered the way that I knew. They were simple questions, so anyone could have answered them correctly. And then I started asking specifics, and then whatever it was lying to me. So now I know. Oh shit. It's time to stop this. So I can send you guys a link, which I'll have sent to you. That there's a video of that first spirit box session.
Oh,
wow. Because these people, they told us, they said, hey, take that Ouija board, whatever, take it outside and burn it. Okay. So I said, cool. Immediately I'm out there like dousing it in fire. I'm just, let's get this thing out of here. But in that spirit box, the thing laughs at us. It says, ha ha ha. They started a fire because I'm riddled with goosebumps right now, but it's only about a minute or a minute and a half long, but this thing is, it's like at the very end, it says CASP, because I guess the word
for CASP, but for Casper, yeah,
but it's all like, because right. That's what we used to call this damn thing. Yeah. So there's just too many things there that I couldn't deny that there's something there, dude. No, I'm
you just kept James up terrifying. For a week. Yeah.
Just made my day.
I got to put the wig back on. So heavy.
All right, before we go any further, one of our favorite sponsors, we say this all the time, they've been with us since day one. It is Blue Chew and their chewables. Their chewables are made from the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost, and that is BlueChew.com. It is an online prescription service, no doctor visits, no awkward conversations, and waiting in line at the pharmacy, because it ships directly to your door in a discreet package. We love Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. Their chewables act faster. They are you don't have to swallow them, so there's no problems there. And they are just the best way to get rock hard erections, stronger, harder, and handle all forms of erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew's Chewables, the unique online service that delivers directly to your door and made in the USA. And they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than any pharmacy. If you go to BlueChew.com, use the code SDR, you get the first month free, and you just pay that $5 shipping. They've been sponsoring this podcast for a few years now, so we love to help the sponsors that sponsor us. BlueChew.com, code SDR, Get that free order, $5 shipping. Let's get back into it.
So look, we don't have a lot of time with you, but I have a couple of the rapid fire questions. Then I want to get into the new music a little bit, and then we'll wrap this baby up. But so first thing, I give you credit because it was all over the news this week that I love is that you congratulated the crowd for booing Machine Gun Kelly, which I could not agree with more. You said they're doing God's work, which is pretty accurate.
Well, you know, it's funny, man. We live in a society now where you can't even make a joke like that anymore because everybody has to pick a side. And there were some people that were really mad that I dissed Machine Gun Kelly and they'll never listen to my band again. And it's arguable to me that you could be a fan of both bands, but maybe you can. But the mistake he made for me was you come from rap. You get rapped out of rap by Eminem because he just destroys you. So you go, well, I'm going to try something else. You pick up pop punk, which I think for me is, you know, not even really rock music. But then the next thing is he's like headlining festivals, right? In our world. But not only that, he's talking shit about Corey Taylor.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And I mean, you know, now there's hierarchies and there are overlords in this world. And certainly if you think about metal and rock, there's a couple people that are the sort of, you know, the arbiters of this world. And Corey Taylor is one of them. And his fans are like rabid. So right. You're going to come over with that pop punk sound and your funky hair and your tattoos and your nose ring and stuff. And you want to come over to a rock festival and you have just spoken shit about Corey Taylor. And I love a good squabble every once in a while. And I thought it was funny. I was like, hey, you guys, well done. And then the next day I had an interview. I was like, yeah, they were doing God's work. Man, the amount of attention that got for me just talking some shit just offhandedly was bizarre to me. So maybe he's a lot more popular than I didn't realize. I mean, certainly when he was a rapper, he was a lot more popular than he is now. But I'm not going to walk away from something like that, especially if I disagree with the inclusion of somebody like that in a world that we've all built up and we've all desperately maintained it. You know, where a lot of time rock and metal is overlooked at big.
Oh yeah, especially nowadays. Yeah,
shows sure. And you know, we really are treated like the redheaded stepchild of the music world. And now you're just going to sort of hop. You're going to saunter in here and you're going to start, you know, playing bad guitar and singing badly and think you can talk shit about the one of the guys that's been here for 30 years. I'm sorry, that's not how this works.
Right. I mean, I couldn't agree more. So that just was nice to read that. And then the other last little like topical thing that I want to get into the band is that you got married in the heat of the fucking pandemic to your to Jordan in the middle of everything. Yeah. Did you think at some point, let's wait, or you delayed it a few times or what?
Like we did. Originally, we were supposed to get married in April of 2020. And then we moved that to September of 2020. And then eventually, you know, because at least Tennessee kind of came to its senses somewhere towards the end of 2020 and really said, look, here's the deal. It's been 8-9 months. How about you all adults go do your own thing, which I really appreciate being, again, an adult and not somebody who necessarily likes to toe the line too much. But so we got to get married this year in May. And it was, you know, it was funny. It's like we worked so long on the first one and then it gets pushed back 9 months or 8 months or 6 months, whatever it was. And then by the time the third one comes, I'm like, Jesus, this is even going to happen? You know, at this point, right. It's like, I mean, shit, it's like, I'll believe it when it happens. But yeah, we finally did. So it was delayed a bunch of times. And man, I'll tell you what, the wedding industry is cutthroat, man. When you put down a deposit for a venue, then the world shuts down right before you're supposed to have a wedding and you have no choice but to postpone. They go, yeah, cool, but pay us the rest first. Oh really? Christ. We can't even, you're not going to help us out here? So then, yeah, we had a photographer take a deposit and he just disappeared. Man, these people are gross. They not all of the industry. I mean, you know, there's some people that are good, but we've seen a couple of people here in Nashville that they were like, man, they don't care about you at all.
They must be Machine Gun Kelly fans.
I think they were.
Let me ask you this. You don't like to ever really say what your songs mean or anything like that. Be like to let people to interpret it themselves. And you don't have to say which songs these were, if I'm right, but did any of the songs, were they inspired by your paranormal experience or no?
No, not yet. Because it's, I mean, honestly, even when I'm talking about it, I get goosebumps. And I've done, dude, I don't even watch movies about ghosts anymore. I don't watch any of those haunted shows because I don't want like someone to get an idea that, oh, it's cool, come on in, right? It's like, I've experienced that level of fear once and it was enough for me that I don't ever want to go back there. And here's the problem. You can't fight something you can't see. right? You can't go, you can't bitch slap something that you can't throw a rock at it. You can't even knife this thing. It's just there. And it's got all the advantage. And then all you have is this crippling fear and going, well, I mean, at least I didn't wet myself, but let's get out of here.
So, all right, I got to interrupt for you. James, I know you got to bail it now, so we'll keep going without you, but you want to plug James real quick?
Oh, man, the Checkspot album, November 12th. Go get that, son of a bitch. It's me at the worst part of the comedy show, people paying their bills, and me doing a question and answers. Check it out, and it's going to be the shit. Man, you are fun as fuck, bro.
Thanks, man. I'm sorry I was late, dude.
Baby, it's okay. As long as next time I'm in the same town as you, you're not sober. We're going to have a couple cold ones and go hunt for some fucking
don't
ghosts.
Don't go look for ghosts. All right, James, thank you for coming. I just had a couple. We'll get into a couple other things. So the album, the full-length album that came out, I think it was in 2020, yep, which basically translates to If You Want Peace, Prepare for War. It's I don't know how you say it in fucking Latin.
It's Civis Pacem Parabellum. The V is pronounced the W, but it's, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't think about I was trying to be clever.
The uneducated American. You didn't think about us. That's what happened. We don't know how to pronounce that shit. But then, which is a great record, but what you started doing is you started re-releasing some of the songs, like with remix, like you did with Wasteland. You put out an EP, right? Yeah. But then there's this 20 songs, 20 years, Vicennial. Am I saying that? What if I don't know how you pronounce that?
Vicennial, yeah.
Vicennial. Is that 20 years? Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Do I know? Why would they? What's 20? 20 would be whatever. I'm gonna get Ben. Whatever. I'm gonna trust you. You're smarter than me. But then also you released Curiosities, Rarities, and Pariahs. So all this music came out at once.
Well, the Curiosities, Rarities, and Pariahs, which nobody has figured out yet that it actually is just a euphemism for crap.
God damn it. How do they not? It's what do they call that? When each letter starts. Anagram, right?
The abbreviation would be crap, right? So what we did is because of that last greatest hits, the one with the dog taking the shit on the cover, because I was really into it. This, the Curiosities one basically had all of those, the second disc of that stuff. And then the Vicennial one is a properly thought out and curated one where it's like, okay, cool. These are actual, this is actually 20 years of us being a band. This is not just a money grab on the way out of a record deal or whatever. So this is a real thing. So I just really wanted to make sure that it was, it was properly done this time. And then, there's another EP coming out early next year. And then, dude, there's a lot happening. It's overwhelming sometimes.
Well, what's funny is I had a website about cooking and I called it Food and Ralphie Time, which was for fart, but nobody ever got that either. So I'm right there with you. We could have put out crap and fart together.
Exactly. We got to get our people talking to each other about these things.
Right. And by the way, also, I'm going to say this just because you are a cool dude from the time I met you on Chip Rock, right? And while I'm watching a bunch of these interviews, we got shit on saying no way would you perform live. Every goddamn interview I watched, you performed live. It hurt my feelings.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, if I'd known, I would have. I do what they tell me.
Well, they told us that you would never do it, and every fucking video I watch, you're singing live. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, we'll just have to do another one of these. I'll actually be on time, and I can do a song.
That would be nice. And then I read also, because we had one or two more questions. We got to do the first. Get out of here. You had a little bit of I don't know if I used the word trauma, but you got sick of the idea of going back on stage again because you were off for so long.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that just when you're in that cycle, you don't even think about it because it's just habit forming.
Yeah.
But even anything you stop for even a week, forget about a year and change.
Yeah.
It had to freak you out a little bit.
Well, if you think that when we tour regularly, it's about average five shows a week. So it's for 2-3 month blocks at a time. And it's all muscle memory and you have fun and you go through the everything comes back to you and you really don't have to think about it too much. You can literally play a song and think about something completely unrelated, but it's all happening. Right. But this one, we hadn't played a show in 656 days or something. And it was like, okay, we'd rehearsed, but now it's in front of people. And I was, nervous for two reasons. One, we hadn't played in so long. Could I still do it? And the second one was, some of the newest stuff was still a little bit unfamiliar to me. So I wasn't quite as confident as say a Fine Again, which I've played 10,000 times or whatever at this point. But so the newest songs, those are the ones I was a bit nervous of, but I hadn't felt that level of nervous nausea in decades. Cause it's just one of those things where it's like, if you do something five times a week, it doesn't make you nervous anymore.
How I feel about masturbating. It's just total habit forming.
Exactly. It's just go through the motions. But no, it was a trip because it wasn't just me. It was all of us. And that 30 minutes before we played was, man, there was so much tension and electricity in that room because all of us were going, don't fuck it up, man. Looking at each other, don't fuck it up. Cause it's, you know, at least you're gonna bust your boys' balls. But yeah, I hadn't felt that in a while, but it was good. The crowds are great, man.
Well, I'll tell you, I got so many other questions I wanted to get to, but we don't have a lot of time. So we end the show all the time with the first. We're going to play that. But I mean, other things, the weird thing was like that whole going back years ago that your whole personal life was put into songs, which was fucking weird as shit, you know, with your ex. And then also I loved the ballsy idea with your first record where like, hey, let's put out 10 album covers because we're nobodies yet. It's a crazy thing. I had a bunch of shit I want to talk to you, but we don't have the time. We'll bring you back another time, but let's hit first right now, Shannon.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every artist this since we started the show almost 7 years ago now, which is crazy. Awesome. About the first experience with all three. And we start with the first concert you ever went to. Ideally something we heard about, but I'm sure it's going to be some South African shit we never heard of.
It was a South African thing, but I'll tell you the first one that really had an impact on me. Well, that one did have an impact on me, but the first one where I got to see an American band play was Smashing Pumpkins, The Cult.
Wow.
And somebody else, they all came and it was one big package. And we got to go in we managed to sneak into the front of the stage, you know, the golden circle, they called it. And we watched the Smashing Pumpkins play. And I must say, it was such an awesome experience, but it was also, by the same token, it was kind of disappointing because it seemed like they were rushing through it as quickly as they could because mm-hmm. I was such a big fan of Melancholy and Gish right. and all that. So when they're playing these songs that I know so well and it's 3-4 times the speed, I was like, come on, man. Anyway, so I just had a couple more beers and had the time.
How old were you that time?
It was about, 18.
All right, so a couple of years away from moving to America. That's pretty wild. That's pretty wild. And now the first drug you ever did, ideally after pot, unless pot wasn't your first drug.
It wasn't. Actually, no, it was. But my first was I did cocaine when I was about 19, no, maybe 20. And we went to this party of people that I barely knew, but they were all doing cocaine. I was like, whoa, this is so cool. I got to check this out. And I ended up, at the time, we were still called Sarin Gas. So I ended up doing a couple bumps. And
I getting was emotional too, over the cocaine, it seems.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot. But no, so I ended up falling asleep on their floor. And they kept partying the whole night. And so the next morning, I was dubbed Snoring Guest as an homage to Sarin Gas, which was fun because my nose was all plugged full of blow. So yeah, I'm glad I had that experience.
And how old were you there?
That I must have been about 21.
Okay. And now lastly, the first time you had sex.
I was 16 and it was like a road trip we all took with a bunch of, it was history class, but it really wasn't. It was just, we had this teacher who liked young boys and we didn't know it. Well, we kind of had an idea, but we weren't so sure, but regardless, he took us out camping in the middle of nowhere. And it was like this sort of RV park campsite kind of place. But there were these college students that were also there at the same time. And I ended up, I'm embarrassing myself. I missed the target, so to speak, a few times before I found what I was looking for. But yeah, I was 16. I was fairly, my dad was strict. That's all I'm going to say.
I thought that story was going to end very differently, that you woke up with your penis in the teacher's mouth. So thank God that you ended up getting laid by college.
No, I didn't, but you know what? Funnily enough, a few years later, that did happen because that son of a bitch, that's a little known story about me is, a couple years later, maybe a year and a half later, I ran away from home because I wanted to play in a band, blah, blah, blah. I ended up staying with this guy. And then, it all played out the way it should have played. I guess
Jesus,
the way he wanted it
to. Wow. Yeah. Well, all right. So that was a pretty shocking admission at the end of the fucking episode. All right. So Vicennial is out now. Curiosities, Rarities, and Pariahs, otherwise known as Crap, is out now. The Wasteland, the Purgatory EP, which has a very cool, like moody acoustic-y version of Wasteland, which I really dug. It's Wasteland's from the Latin titled record Parabellum that I don't want to butcher. But and then it's at Seether, although don't look up Sean Morgan on social media because you will not find him.
Well, if you do find one, guaranteed it's not me. That's one thing you got to make clear. So there's a bunch of people that pretend, but it's definitely not me.
That's pretty good. Something to be proud of. Shannon, anything else you want to plug, by the way, before we wrap this up? I don't want to be rude to you, sir.
Me? Oh, no, I'm good. Thank you so much. We've covered all the bases and then some, I think. We've gone.
Well, especially with that last thing that you dropped.
Paranormal, you know, yeah, being molested by a school teacher. I mean, you name it.
Yeah, your dog shitting. We got it all covered. Yeah, Shannon, your plug, Shannon.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have people from all walks of life, comedians, porn stars, actors, reality TV stars come on the show and they tell their stories about their worst date experiences, most memorable street fight they've ever been in, and any brush with the paranormal.
I wonder if Sean believes in paranormal.
I think so.
And follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness comes out every Monday called The Good Sugar Podcast. I do with the founder of Juice Press. Basically, that show, we're trying to make me a better person. That's the idea. I don't know if it's been working, but we've been trying.
With a try.
Thank you so much, Sean. And also, by the way, forget we covered everything. The main thing we covered is apparently you and your manager think I'm the best host that's ever existed. And that's probably correct. The takeaway from this episode that all that matters.
I think we should have it like put in a plaque for you and send it to you.
Oh, my God. That'd be so good. Believe me. And by the way, before we wrap, are you guys at all coming to the New York area? Do you know? I don't know if there's any tour dates put up yet or anything, but are you?
No, not for now. We've wrapped for this year, and it looks like everybody's still kind of skittish. So if anything happens, it's going to be spring or summer of next year, unfortunately. Oh,
God damn it. Everything's so fucking weird. All right, we're going to add. What do you say? Let's do the reworking of Wasteland off of the Purgatory EP. We'll add that to our playlist at thesdrshow.com/playlist, and we'll see you next time on The SDR Show. Peace.
Listening to the SDR Show.